Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Prove Me Wrong podcast. As always, I'm your host, Pete Lieb, and I'm glad you're with me again tonight. Great show tonight. My guest is Alana Freeland, and we are going to talk about chemtrails, geoengineering for starters. But Alana is an interesting lady, and we'll see where it goes from there. But for right now, I have a challenge for you. If you are listening to this podcast and it's daylight, pause the show and look into the sky. Chances are you will see dozens of exhaust trails crisscrossing the blue, but what is that little man-made cloud exactly? Is it just condensation resulting from burning jet fuel at 30,000 feet, or is it something more ambitious and sinister? I don't know the answers. That's why Alana is here. Alana is a writer, ghostwriter, storyteller, and teacher who researches and writes on deep state issues like geoengineering, MKUltra, ritual abuse, targeting, and invasive electromagnetic weapons. She is best known for her books, Chemtrails, HARP, and Full Spectrum Dominance of the Planet, and Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. And if you're watching the video version right now, I have both of those on the screen for you. Those are the covers of the books, so you can look for them and pick them up. She is right now finishing a third book in the series about how synthetic biology and transhumanism are connected to the nanotechnology being delivered by geoengineering, GMO foods, and vaccinations. Freeland's undergraduate degree is in creative writing with a second major in biology. Her Master of Arts degree from St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico, concentrated on historiography. She lives in Olympia, Washington currently. You can find more about Alana on her blog site, alanafreeland.com, and you can also find her on Facebook and Amazon as well. So with that, I will say welcome, Alana, to the Prove Me Wrong podcast.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me.
So if you wouldn't mind, start me off with a little more of your history, if you would. What sparked your interest in the deep state and some of these, the quote-unquote fringe topics that nowadays get you banned on YouTube or get you censored on Facebook? What got you started on those topics?
Well, I think the beginning had to be that I was a 60s generation person, and I was extremely active in the 60s, not just politically, though everything then seemed political to me. Mm-hmm. When I was 16, I'd had tea with President Kennedy in the Rose Garden because I was at Girls Nation. And Bill Clinton was at Boys Nation that summer. We were both there in the Rose Garden with Wow. Kennedy. And 4 months, not even 4 months later, he was shot down like a dog in the streets of Dallas. And I was invited to give talks to the civic groups that had paid for my trip to Washington. And it was a real moment of destiny, I call it, when I had to give that talk in a room filled with sobbing Americans. And so that was really the beginning of what I would call political. I certainly had never thought about it before. I was just an American kid. I was raised as an immigrant kid until I was eight, Eastern European. And so for me, America was always something that my Romanian grandmother completely admired. And therefore, when Kennedy was shot and I entered the 60s generation movement around the country, I was hitchhiking along with people. I was at different universities. I went to five universities and colleges in order to get my BA. I wanted to see the country, and I would go and work for a year and then go to school for a while and then hit the road again. Wow. That was the lifestyle at that time in order to see what Simon and Garfunkel were singing about looking for America.
Yeah.
So I began there. And then from there, I eventually began to doubt what I was being told by the mainstream media. And I began to pay attention to a sort of underbelly that seemed to be running America. I read a lot of conspiracy theorists, who are many of whom are now dead, by the way, and eventually ended up doing a lot of research for a series that I wrote called Sub Rosa America. And from that, I then ended up, after living in Europe for a while, I ended up being very good friends with Clifford Carnicom, who is he was the first and only independent scientist who was collecting detritus coming from those jets in the skies over northern New Mexico. He could tell by when the trail hit that it wasn't a contrail. He could see that the chemical signature disqualified it for being a contrail. It was much more than condensation and ice crystals. So he was collecting from dew and snow and the bits of rain in northern New Mexico, and then whatever his HEPA filter was picking up. And we met serendipitously, as life often does, introduces you to the very people that you need for the next phase of your life. And Clifford and I began to put our heads together over the biological material that he was collecting to figure out what these fibers were that were in the trails. And they most definitely were in the trails. So that was the beginning for me. And then from there, Adam Parfrey at Farrell House Press, he was the publisher of the first two books. He asked me if I could write a book on chemtrails. And so I did write that first book, and it came out in 2014. And then that book gave birth to a whole other level of geoengineering that I had not even imagined when I did the first book. Because I was, you know, when you write a book, you're actually learning at the same time that your readers are going to be learning, except you probably need to learn at least 5 to 10 times more than the readers are going to learn. So I wrote the second book out of the first one, and that's Ionized Sky. And then that one, of course, by the time I got to that one, I realized that that the geoengineering was about a lot more than weather, controlling the weather. So I then began to collect data for lots of notes, lots of reading, as much as I could. But you've got to appreciate what it is to do research on national security classified operations. You can't just go to a library and read the last 10 books that made the New York Times bestseller list. You've got to really, it's sort of like a collage experience. I now know, I don't know, a couple of thousand people around the world, and they send me things, and I go through them, and sometimes there's a little nugget there that suddenly puts aha, you know, puts the picture together for me of something that I hadn't figured out. Because this science is, first of all, they lie consistently about it in order to keep our eyes off of it. And then secondly, there is no published material that I can get my hands on other than the patents and papers and military conferences on the internet. And that's what I have depended on, is this process I have, and it works really well, where I take in a lot of data, and then I have a really good memory, and so I can read these things and then let it lie fallow for a while. And then something occurs that brings me back to it, and suddenly I understand what it's about. Mm-hmm. And that's how I do it. And it certainly works for the public, because I'm not writing these books for the PhDs of the world. I do try to make it scientifically interesting, because, oh, someone's calling me. Let me just turn that off.
Sure.
I try to make it interesting for the PhDs who will sort of wend their way to a bizarre, seemingly conspiracy site with books written by a non-PhD woman who has a pretty good brain and is willing to put years into research and writing. And, you know, I have a little stable of these guys that have found me, and they're very valuable to me because their insights are educated. It's not simply a matter of making an opinion out of nowhere. You've got to have something behind you. Right. So I've really been amazed by this. And the biggest thing I found this last year that I really want to talk about in a few ways is nanotechnology. Mm-hmm. And nanotechnology is not something that is off in the dustbin of laboratories and esoteric science. Nanotechnology is now central. Example, the so-called virus that we are hearing so much about. This is really nanotechnology that has been synthesized and weaponized at military labs. So, you know, if you don't know that, you're going to think that you've got these nasty viruses wandering around looking for tender flesh mm-hmm. to make a problem for. But really, what you need to be thinking about is all of the weaponizing of our environment. And thus, I have entitled the next book, the final book I hope I'll be writing, I really need to get out of this, is the Geoengineered Transhumanism, How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemicals, Electromagnetics, and Nanoparticles for Synthetic Biology. And that's really the big thing that I think I've always been heading for, but mm-hmm. I had to start with the chemical trails in the sky that were dropping these pathogens on us, along with a lot of nanoparticles, which at that time I didn't even know existed 10 years ago.
Well, can I ask you about that? Because, you know, I definitely want to get to that. But let me start with those chemtrails and say, because you mentioned just briefly about the differences between them. For the layperson who doesn't understand when they look in the sky, mm-hmm. is anything at this point that I'm looking at in the sky during the day, is anything, in your opinion, actually a contrail?
Or natural clouds.
Right.
You're not even seeing any natural clouds, to my knowledge. I mean, I'm serious. Clifford said it to me years ago, and I didn't understand the depth of what he was telling me. He said that our atmosphere has been utterly transformed, and that is the truth. This is not the same atmosphere we had. And when I say atmosphere, we're talking about the troposphere. Mm-hmm. That's where we live, this little tiny, thin layer of air that we breathe and depend upon. Those clouds are plasma, and they're created electromagnetically and chemically and with nanoparticles. As far as the contrails, I don't know, other than the tiny little jet that you might see at maybe 25 or 30,000 feet, and you'll be able to tell if it's a condensation trail by the fact that it really won't last long at all. It'll come out, and then it'll be a little puff, and then within seconds, at the most 30 seconds, it's gone. Whereas a chemical trail, and, you know, it shouldn't be, if the disinformation guys weren't working so hard, it wouldn't be hard for people to really understand that all these trails, commercial and military, they are all chemical, because the fuel itself, without counting any supplementary chemicals being loaded into the delivery system, the fuel itself is chemical. It goes from JP-8 fuel, which, by the way, is still classified. You cannot find out what's in it, to biofuels they keep talking about, which are mm-hmm. just about anything but bio. And these are chemical in themselves. So, you know, I think the reason that's covered up so assiduously is that if you realized what you were breathing at any level, even if you thought it was just fuel. Right now we have very few jet planes flying, right? But before we had a ton of them flying all the time. People fly all the time. And so that made a lot of pollution that we were all breathing. But the other reason they keep a lid on this fact that you are not seeing contrails hardly ever anymore, you're seeing chemical trails, is that these chemical trails are often loaded with things. And one of the things they're loaded with that you hardly have to spend any energy on saying is they are loaded with nanosensors. Because the military has been very clear, along with the Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all the big boys of the defense industry, they've all been very clear that they're dropping a lot of nanosensors from the upper atmosphere, the stratosphere. And a lot of those may end up spinning with the centrifugal force of the Earth, but a lot of them come down and we're breathing those as well. So the other thing that comes out is, oh, nanotechnology, no problem. There's no human effects. Well, that's simply not true at all. It's a barefaced lie. There are a lot of effects from nanotechnology. And for people who don't know what nano means, a nano is just a way of describing a size. It's 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. So very, 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 very tiny. But it's built, and we are making them. It's called material science now. You can get a PhD in material science. They are laying one atom next to another atom next to another atom to make these nanoparticulates. So there were nanoparticles in nature for thousands of years, if not more. But these are all man-made. These are synthetic. And they also often hold tinier, tinier, tinier computers that have been made for them. So they're loaded with computers that are like transceivers. They transmit and they receive from ground control, whoever ground control is, who's running those nanos. Mm-hmm. So what we have is something that can be weaponized in the sense that the military uses them a lot, or you could look at them that they're in cosmetics, they're in all refined foods, to my knowledge. Anything that's been pulverized and then reconstituted, you're going to have nanoparticles in there. And they're not natural. These are man-made. So, it's in the new car smell. It's in the ground because it's been falling from high up in the sky for years now, namely 20 years, I might add. So, this is something everyone needs to know, because now medicine is using the nanoparticles, and medicine is implanting them or utilizing the ones that have already been distributed from the sky through aerosols that we have breathed in, that went through our lungs into our blood. And then according to whatever their instructions are, their programming through those tiny computers I mentioned, microcomputers,
right.
They will end up in certain areas of the body and maybe just hang out there and wait for any new programming that comes that wants them to be used perhaps for some drug that Big Pharma is putting out, or medical reasons. There are many things, but they are in our bodies. And that was the big shocker that Clifford Carnicom first showed me many years ago, was that one of the things that's in our bodies is what is known as Morgellons. And these are the fibers that are actual pathogens, but they're not pathogens like you pick up a parasite that's natural. Mm-hmm. These are not natural. These are genetically engineered pathogens. And they too are computerized. They're intended to communicate with computers, between computers and your body and brain. So that's the thing we need to understand is, first of all, the medical industry is an industry. Let's not forget that. The other thing that we need to know is that the medical industry and the military have made some sort of alliance. And that's the really scary part, is that we tend to think of doctors and hospitals and drug companies mm-hmm. as being dedicated to human health. I really don't think that's true anymore, if ever it was, once it got to the industrial level. Because if you just think about it, what are they making so much money from? They're making money from sickness.
Right.
They're not making money from health. I remember reading years ago that when I studied Chinese medicine, that in Chinese medicine of the ancient days, and we're talking 5,000 years ago, the Chinese had this amazing medical system. If you didn't get better, well, the doctor didn't get paid. And I think that would be a great system for us to return to, but there's no chance that it'll happen now.
So what does the government say about chemtrails? What is their official stance on it? I mean, it couldn't be that old. You said something like 20 years they've been heavily involved. I mean, do they even acknowledge the military use and deny civilian aircraft, or is it just deny the whole process?
Well, the way they've worked it is they trotted out geoengineering through the geoengineer named David Keith several years ago. That was before the conferences that President Trump has recently withdrawn us from, the conferences which said that there was global warming, climate change, that it was all due to carbons, and mm-hmm. so every nation's going to be taxed for carbons, blah, blah, blah. All disinformation, all of it, disinformation out. And when they trotted out the word geoengineering, at the same time, they kept the word contrail. The chemtrails was, the word chemtrails, which, by the way, is from the U.S. Air Force Academy, was okay. used on their manuals. That was reserved to make fun of people and marginalize them so that you wouldn't think that they had anything true to say to you. Instead, it was all called contrails. And now we even have, as they've consistently normalized geoengineering. And now it is normalized. I mean, you can hear, it's not mentioned much because it's still a pretty volatile topic. I don't know if you noticed, but we have a guy in our movement who, Rick Duarte, who has he does weather warfare. And he will keep track of all the extreme weather incidents in the world on a daily basis. And so recently I have noticed that there are a lot of those. Of course, winter is a perfect time to do those, to set them up. And am I saying they're all set up? Yes, I am. I am saying that weather systems can be moved this way and that. The jet stream is absolutely controlled. And we do not have any natural weather other than the weather systems that arise naturally, have for many thousands of years in the South Pacific. And immediately when those weather systems arise, then they are scooped up by the geoengineers of the military, merchant marine, NOAA, NASA, et cetera, used for usually political purposes, maybe sometimes a terraforming purpose, like the fires in California. You know that they prepared for those by drying California out.
By what method are they, how are they directing it? I mean, you're saying that they're grabbing it and they're moving it around. By what method are they doing that? Yeah, how are they doing it?
Usually with chemicals, the chemical trails, mm-hmm. which have a lot of metals in them. You know, it has nanoparticles of strontium, aluminum, barium, et cetera. And those all create a heat in the air. And then those stimulate different low pressure areas, high pressure areas. And then they use lasers to move these activated, heated up, ionized weather instruments now. They're just chemicals. They're plasma and chemicals, but they can be moved by laser, say up the West Coast, mm-hmm. and then tack them onto the jet stream that's going to head naturally east. That's sort of how it works. Or they can do it unnaturally, like when they were sinking. I don't know if you noticed, but a while ago, they were bringing the jet stream all the way down to the south. And they can do the same thing with the Aurora Borealis. They can drag that down. This is all part of the secret space program. And if you don't know about the secret space program, you might think this is just boys with toys doing this, that, and the other, and making a mint off of controlling the weather. And that is happening, but it's much more than that. The control over the weather is very, very important to the secret space program, mm-hmm. not just because you want to get rockets or whatever your exotic propulsion instrument is off of the Earth and, you know, through the atmosphere, but because it can make the secret space program needs to have full spectrum dominance over the planet and everyone on it before moving on to the next phases that that running a secret space program requires. So I talk about that in the second book. And Catherine Austin Fitz, the investment analyst, has gone on to great length to prove that probably the $21 trillion missing from the American budget has really gone into the secret space program. We got it from the Nazis, Operation Paperclip. Mm-hmm. All of this, this story is so antiseptically squeezed out to put it into the newspaper or the news event to just keep everybody in this sort of stasis, this lack of knowledge of how everything around us, the environment, not only has been wrecked, which was something that some other people said much earlier than I, mm-hmm. but is now being used epigenetically against our species. And that's what I'm up in arms about and why I'm writing probably the hardest book I've ever written. That's where I'm at now. Did I answer your question about the contrails? That's like so old school for me that I hardly ever even think about it.
So the recent weather systems, the recent weather issues that we've had over maybe the last half a decade that have all been attributed really to global warming, CO2, you know, yada, yada, yada. Your contention is that actually those are done on purpose. It is a purposeful issue to make those weather systems stronger and last longer and more destructive for the ultimate goal of what? What's
the
ultimate goal?
Well, the secret space program, but political clout. I mean, we made Iran have a drought for years. We made California have a drought for years. We're flooding right now. What's going on is we're flooding everywhere in the world. And when I say we, I want to be clear. This is not the Trump government doing this. This is the deep state, as it's known by. And I'm very comfortable using that word because I've done a lot of research on the underbelly that has been running this nation since John Kennedy was murdered. So the deep state are the ones with their finger on the button. I mean, if you go back and look at how NASA was founded, what will you discover? You'll discover paperclip Nazis founded NASA.
Right.
And I don't think it's really changed at all. I think that this the floods that are happening now are a horror. And, you can go to my Facebook site. It's a closed site, but you can become a member and see how Rick has laid out. I mean, it is one flood after another all over the world right now. And that is not natural, and it's not global warming, and it's not climate change. It is being purposely done. It is a political instrument, an economic instrument, and it is ruthlessly used against developing countries. And now, of course, we're seeing that even developed nations are going to have repercussions from the deep state.
So it's not a uniquely American phenomenon. And that was one of my questions was, if you're talking about the government doing this, you mean infiltrators within the government.
Well, you can look at it that way, but the way I look at it is the government has been split. And there are those who serve the real American government, and there are those who are trying to destroy it. That's how I see the events of our day. But you can look at it that there could be Chinese infiltration, and that some people have developed power over the decades that no one has really looked at, because you know how it is with national security. Once you bring up an issue, say in Congress, if it's national security, it goes into closed session. Is that healthy in a democracy? I don't think so. And that National Security Act of 1947, I'd like to bludgeon it to death myself, but that is what happens. And so we don't know who's controlling things, except I can see, because I've schooled myself in this science called geoengineering, I can very well see when it's being used and exploited for political purposes. And that is what is happening now.
So when you are pumping these chemicals, these metals, things like that into the air, they don't stay there. They do fall down, you were mentioning. They do get into us. What are the physical effects? Why should the common person be worried about it?
No, it affects us greatly.
Okay.
And where you can really see it is if you do a little bit of a historical study of the health of Americans over the last half a century. Now, nanotechnology came in 1990, and that's a date that you can pretty much hang your hat on, that from then on, and not much to do was made over it. It was very slyly and quietly put into place by the military-industrial intelligence complex. So if you look at the health from, let's say the 80s, up to now, you'll see a gradual decline in American health. You'll see that children are developing immune deficiency early on. Mm-hmm. You'll see things that Alzheimer's in 30-year-olds. I mean, what? This is what I mean. It's all about the immune system being weakened to the point, this is not rocket science to figure this out. You genetically engineer something on a tiny scale, and then you allow it to self-replicate, which is how this creature, which has been genetically engineered, the nanobot, the nanotech, it replicates. It doesn't reproduce like a biological being. It replicates, and it forms, surprise, surprise, networks in our bodies. And these networks look a lot like what Elon Musk has been trying to sell us as neuromesh. It looks identical, except he claims that the neuromesh will need minor surgery to put into your body. You can also see the same thing from the vaccination people, that they say that you're going to have a shot. Well, I kind of doubt that this is how the latest delivery systems are going to evolve, because now we have in us already a neuromesh. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what does a neuromesh mean? Well, it combines with our neurology and wraps itself around it and eventually can actually shapeshift into our own neuro system. And then this is what I think is the purpose. Then all those computers out there that may have the signature that gives them entry to my body in particular, because everybody has their own unique signature. But say they want to just enter mine. They don't want to enter an entire neighborhood or nation or ethnic group or race. they want to enter just a few people, they need that signature. And if they have that signature, it's a frequency. And they can broadcast that frequency because they've spent a lot of time building these towers, a lot of time putting all this stuff up around us, where now we're just passageways for all these waves that are moving through us. I'm sitting here and I have an Ethernet cable, but that doesn't mean that I'm not getting waves from my computer, from my I don't have a cell phone. I consider it a weapon system. Yeah. I refuse to have one. My landline, my neighbors, I don't know what they have. All these waves are going through me.
Right.
So we are innately networks, but with the nanotech networking that's going on in our bodies through the programming that they've had in order to do this, this sets us up royally for absolute control by 5G satellites, 5G networks, 6G networks. And we've been turned into a tower because we are electromagnetic to a degree.
Sure.
But what about our health? Our health is inimical to these electromagnetics. And we're finally beginning to see that. I thought it would never come, that people now are really aware that, wow, these electromagnetic devices are exhausting me. You know, I'm getting all these immune deficiency states of being from just being surrounded by this wireless technology that they have sold us in the name of convenience and comfort. And boy, did they do a number on people. You know, Americans are just so naive. I can't get over it.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, is like, boy, that seems like, you know, starting in the 90s, putting stuff into the air, then working it into a nanotechnology, then working it into so that it's on a frequency that all these cell towers or whatever towers, broadcast towers that they're using can work on you. That's a whole lot of work going through all that time to do what it seems like the cell phone and social media can do in about 3 years. That, to me, you know, everything you're saying there is if the ultimate goal of chemtrails was to create a legion of mind-controlled populace, it seems like we're doing that now with Facebook and with Twitter.
Yeah,
and
but you're trying to equate social media with the infrastructure that I talked about in the second book,
yeah,
that I call the space fence lockdown. Oh, no. You couldn't have this social media control over you without years of developing fiber optic cable deep in the earth, down the sidewalks, down the streets, in everything that you can possibly imagine. I mean, they had a lot of infrastructure to get into place. And the last piece appears to me to be these 5G satellites that are going up, thousands and thousands of them. And they're not even telling us about the ones the military is sending up and DARPA is sending up and Lockheed Martin is sending up and Raytheon. It's not just Elon Musk. There are going to be hundreds of thousands of these things up there. And they're all being controlled and they're all beaming down to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going to happen to us if we have the nanotech inside of us? Okay. They want us to be transhumanists. They want to change our genetics. So they set it up that they have a whole network they can work with in here and get down to our DNA. Because what is DNA? DNA is an antenna. That's what it is. It's an antenna. So they're going to play our DNA. And they're going to maybe use some mRNA to inject us to get that DNA takeover on its road and get it going, maybe as a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be completely set up with what they call the BCI system, the brain-computer interface. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we're plugged in. We are plugged in. And then we become very computer-like. We are run by AI. I'm already meeting these people, aren't you? I'm meeting people who are sort of brain dead.
Absolutely.
And you might say, well, they're a nice person. yeah, nice is not a good word to me, because a lot of people are nice and they're killing you. So, you know, I'm not sure about that word, nice. The word good, however, I take that one very seriously, and I meet very few good people, very few. I meet more machine-like people. And so what's going on there? Because they're not finished with setting this up. They're mm-hmm. almost there. That's why the COVID thing was made to happen now. They're moving it really fast now. So these moves toward BCI-ing us still need a little bit of this and a little bit of that and get things set up. And then once we're all plugged in, I have to ask, and I have to ask way before then, by the way, and I've been asking this of myself for many years, what is our strength, our human strength, when we take it seriously, which is normally not done in America, where they didn't need the jackboots, they didn't need the midnight black cars and torture mm-hmm. in your home. All they needed was to convince you that your birthright is convenience and comfort.
Right.
And you let them take everything from you, everything that is freedom. So if they can do that that way, then will the people who are programmed and behave like computers, I'm now rereading Brave New World. It's like the script for what's going on right now, I have to say. I haven't read it for many years.
And they don't even...
I highly recommend it.
And to your point, they don't even... They're having other people do the policing. They don't have to... They haven't had to do the policing.
Well, they don't even need people.
Yeah, they're showing, again, that fear and their in the comfort and the fear, especially with the outbreak.
Oh, the you mean like are the Bill police. Gates and the Fauci?
The people are end up being the police and pushing the conformity
right.
for
right.
them.
Those are all minions.
Yeah.
But as far as us, the concern to me is how we're going to get out of this. And I maintain that if you have real consciousness, and like I said, most people don't take it seriously and they don't develop it. Maybe they have a little meditation practice. Maybe they, you know, they go to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about a mind that, for one, does not spend hours in front of TVs, which are basically hypnotic brainwave controllers.
Right.
I'm talking about a mind that does not carry around a cell phone, which is with remote signaling, can pulse your new behavior, your thoughts and your feelings, and you'll think they're there, that they're yours, but they're not. They're from devices that have the frequency to your cell phone, because your cell phone is, of course, you know, part of a big system.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So, you know, we have childishly accepted these technologies without studying them, without finding out what the drawback might be. We have childishly trusted authority figures that for decades have proven they're lying to us.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, there's no excuse. You don't get to pass go and collect $200 with that kind of mindset. You are not really doing your job as a human being. And why am I working so hard? You know, people can say, oh, Ilana, you know, she's smart and she can do that sort of thing. No. Ilana chose to do this.
Right.
Because I was suddenly not sure that humanity would be able to survive this. A real human being, not a human 1.0, it's even being called now, instead of becoming a human 2.0, which is what they want for us, the transhumanist version. And part of that, you've got to see here, Pete, it has to do with the secret space program, because they want a type of human being who can leave our solar system and who can encounter machine intelligence from other planets or other star systems, and can relay these things with a modicum of true human perception. They want a hybrid human being to be able to go on these voyages.
Well, why try to engineer an entire population of people to do that? It seems like you could find fringe people who would volunteer to do that.
They've been doing that. MK Ultra was, I don't know that they volunteered. Yeah. I wouldn't call it volunteering.
No, yeah, not in that case.
But they had programs. I was in one of those programs back in grade school after Sputnik went up. They shoved all of us bright kids into these special programs where you would have some guy in a suit come in and kind of come around to your desk and give you a big, in, you know, disingenuous smile, and maybe they'd even pick you out and put you in science programs. And, you know, that was going on. And now it's much more than that. It's not about a few people going to space. It's about the entire human race being different. And, mm-hmm. you know, you'd almost think an AI is running all this stuff. You know, it has a very AI feel of running the nanotechnology, running the vaccination technology, hospital technology, all of this. It has an AI feel. But maybe it's all about being gods on the Earth. Maybe that's it. A type of God that runs this planet, that there is no more divine being who has this planet as its own.
So have those people already made that transition, or how are they grabbing new recruits? Let's put it that way. How's that deep state getting new recruits?
Well, new recruits look to be very easy. I see almost an entire generation of millennials who have signed up.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to them. I don't call, you know, I mean, I assume it, here's my little piece on that. I assume that being raised in daycares and going to schools where you're being programmed the whole time,
mm-hmm.
And you don't really, and you have lots of electronic devices around to take you away from nature, take you away from yourself, take you away from your own creative mind. I assume that could do it. And
they're making it kind of a joke, the boomer versus the millennial. They're making that push and pull a joke between the two generations. But in reality, I think I agree with you. I think we are one generation away from a completely different looking world.
Yeah.
And I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old, and they've never known a life without the internet, without cell phones, without any, you know, 400 channels of cable television. They've never known any of those things. And so they look at me like I'm crazy when I say we used to have to wait our turn for the phone. Right. So, yeah, I think we are right at the edge of that. The boomers, quote unquote, are still holding off the millennials and still holding the line. And they're the last ones on the wall. And
we're all aging. We're all dying. And
they're kids to some respect, because I mean, I do think, I mean, I'm 47 and I think that there are people who are generally in my age bracket, you know, they're in that 50 year range and up. Those are the ones that are over there in the Michigan courthouse bitching about the lockdowns. Those are the ones that are really protesting at this point about the way things are going. It's not the younger people. They're just burning stuff down because they're allowed to. They're being allowed to burn things down.
There may be more to that than you think.
There
may be an MK Ultra piece in that. Yes, there may be.
I would not doubt that one bit. If that came out to say that, you know what, are the phones that they've grown up with their entire lives, or even the teacher student relationship that they've had in schools their entire life, is that conditioning? And you know, then something flashes on TikTok, and suddenly these kids are activated.
They're triggered. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I work so hard is, if we are indeed splitting now, and Rudolf Steiner, I'm a student of Rudolf Steiner many, many years. I was a Waldorf teacher for a long time. If humanity truly is splitting, where some are going off toward the machine and some are clinging to nature in whatever way they can, in maintaining this human 1.0. If that is true, then I want to make sure that I have laid it out as distinctly as I can for people who are absolutely bewildered by what's going on. I mean, the strength of what has happened in this last year is it's incredible speed. Mm-hmm. And so many people think this all, what I'm saying, sounds unbelievable. Sounds absolutely unbelievable. And if I hadn't, been tracking all of this along with practicing Satanists, scientists who are no longer in charge of their own lives, billionaires who are no longer in charge of their own fortunes. If I hadn't done all this work, I might be bewildered as well. But we are now at a point that I foresaw, along with many in my generation, we called it the establishment, when we wondered when it was going to come down because it was rotten, it was rancid, it was cancerous. To be in a culture that claims to be a democracy, whereby next to no investigation into the Kennedy assassination, the King assassination, and the Robert Kennedy assassination, mm-hmm. and for not one person to serve a day in jail other than the patsies that weren't killed, it's a travesty. It's a travesty. And I've been squawking my whole life. I lost all my friends. And it's what happens, the lonely voice that cries out like a Cassandra. It has to be done because we are responsible. I always say, this is my watch. This mm-hmm. is my watch. And I have to do what I can to awaken the people I can awaken, who can then do something. Because when you look at history, and I am a historian by trade, by my master's degree, I see, and I've read much, much, much history, that often, the histories are written by the winners, yes. But for there sure. there are other pieces to the histories that you can put together and see what really happened. And that there have always been just a few people in every generation and every cataclysmic time of great peril and pain, a few individuals who carry it forward. That's always been the way. It's not the masses. Mm-hmm. The masses are all full of people who are, waking up in their own time. And what we've had is a democratic system to some degree that in which they can take their time and wake up. But what's happening now is the deep state type people are now saying, we have the electromagnetic ability to make you have certain skill sets and certain abilities. And we can do that remotely without you even knowing it. We're taking your free will away. We're going to develop you the way we want you to be because we're tired of waiting for you to get off the couch and turn the TV off and do something with yourself. And that, I don't want that. I don't want people's free will taken, even if they make bad choices with their free will.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I am always been a big proponent of, you make your choices, whether they're good choices, they're ultimately good or bad. They're your choices. I am not a big fan of telling you what to do. I wouldn't want you telling me what to do, and I don't want to tell you what to do. We make our own choices, and whether or not they end up right or wrong, you end up hopefully learning from them and moving on. Your life isn't, I don't think your life is defined by one moment in it. You know, you learn from that moment, you move on. The hour flew here, and I do want to, if maybe we have you on another time, we could talk more about MKUltra and geoengineering and transhumanism and things like that that we started touching on a little bit and under the guise of chemtrails, but we came into all of that. So I'd love to go back into some of that some more. But as happens a lot when we start talking about deep state activities, I end up exceedingly depressed and despondent most of the time. And I'm sure a lot of my listeners probably do too. So I'd like to try to end with some type of silver lining or guidance, or ultimately what can be done in your opinion. I mean, you're obviously doing something because you think that it's not too late yet. Something still can be done to turn the tide. What can we do right now as the common person to fight back?
Well, you know, just with my little effort, one person here writing a couple of books and being on the internet way too much, I've affected thousands of people, thousands to get that enthusiasm that we have a fight here. Mm-hmm. That this is not given to us, that there are always evil people on the planet who want to take everything you have, who want to take your humanity, who want to take your children and turn them into sex slaves. They've always been here.
Yeah.
But if we sleep through it, we get what we deserve. We have got to wake up and stay awake, and we've got to change our lifestyle to get rid of anything that is putting us to sleep. Just get rid of it. First of all, your TV, out. I've never even owned a television. Get rid of it. That cell phone, I know you're not going to get rid of it. It's very cool. But you really should start looking at its relationship with you.
Yeah.
I live without a cell phone, no problem. So this idea that, oh, it's all just out of my hands. Not so. It's in your hands. But you have to make the first move. You have to really, as I told high school students when I used to teach high school, I'd go in and say, all right, I'm going to give you the secret to life. What, Miss Freeland? What's the secret to life? And they'd humor me. I'd say, yeah, what I'm going to tell you now, if you can do it, anything will be possible for you. And so then I would say, the only thing you have to do is be able to tell yourself to do something, and you do it. And at the same time, to tell yourself not to do something, and you don't do it. If you can do that consistently, do you know how strong you'll be? You have no idea. You have no idea. And I say that to everyone. If you feel like a loser and you feel like everything's out of your hands, you haven't looked seriously enough. You haven't really looked. And, you know, I spent my early 20s and late teens reading biographies of great individuals. That really helped me because I saw their struggles. Mm-hmm. And we have to begin wielding our consciousness as a defensive weapon. That's how I look at it. I'm very much a warrior. I'm not a peacenik. I very much know there's a war to be fought here, and it's a spiritual war.
I will say the one silver lining to me of this entire outbreak and all the things that have happened here since March of this year is that it did illuminate that group of people who still would say, no, I'm not going to go along with this. I'm not going to do this. And then the amount of, I mean, there was that point where it was over the course of a week, there were protests in Michigan, there were protests in Kentucky, then there were protests in Indiana, then there were protests in Wisconsin, and they were protesting what the government was taking care of them. And they said, no, we don't want you taking care of us. We want to make our own decisions. And I'll be honest with you, I was sitting there watching that, and my wife came in, and I almost had tears in my eyes. And she's like, well, what's so exciting? I was like, I don't care if they're right or wrong. They have made a choice and they're sticking with it. And they're saying
that's
no,
right. You know, and they're taking a risk.
That's right. And they're saying no. And, you know, I'm not saying that the outbreak isn't real or is not. That wasn't the point. The point was they said, we're making a stand right now for what we believe in. Consequences be damned. And that to me was beautiful because we were right at the edge where you just didn't know if that happened anymore, if we had that anymore. Because like you said, your lives are comfortable. We're told what to think. We're told what to do. And that was a moment when I said, well, these people, they're not ready to be told what to do yet. And that gave me some hope. And it's still going on now. If you look at with this recent election issue, and there were some irregularities there, say what you will. Some people like, oh, there's absolutely no case at all. That's bullshit. There are irregularities there that should have been reviewed one way or the other, whether or not they're real or not. Review it. Why would you not review it? What's so unfair about that? And then there are millions of people out there saying, this is not right. No, I don't like this. And so to me, that I think if nothing else, this year did allow millions of people to regain that voice and regain that pride in themselves and say, to be able to say no. And so to me, that's a silver lining. How about that? I'm gonna end with that and say that's my silver lining, is that all this, maybe this was the grand experiment to see how close are we? Are we really close? I mean, are we to the point where we could shut them down and they just take it the whole time? And there is no whimper. I mean, there is no outrage. They just take it. And we're not quite there yet. And so that does make me happier. I don't know what your thoughts are. I was monologuing.
Oh, I'm going to let you end it. It's your show. I do not agree with about half of what you said. I'm
going to
let it go.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to let it go because we're
great.
In process.
That's right. See that? But that's great. You and I can have a discussion and you may not believe or agree with what
yeah.
I say. But that's what the human condition should be. We should be able to have discussions and disagree in civil ways.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Well, thank you so much again for spending time with me, Alana. I really appreciate it. Is there anything that, I know you're working on your, like you said, another book, maybe your last book, you got to get out of the game. Would you like to just spend another moment to plug that while you're here?
Sure. Again, the title tells everything that I'm doing. Geoengineered Transhumanism. How the environment has been weaponized by chemicals, electromagnetics, and nanoparticles for synthetic biology. This is our moment
Absolutely.
In which we have to look at this possibility that the environment is being used against us, and so that we can know the way the enemy is working, and we can then make our plans. That's how I see it. You've got to keep your immune system going. You've got to strengthen it. You've got to really pay attention to how you're living and how you're eating. So
no doubt.
You can go to my Facebook sites. I have two private ones. I will look at your site. If you apply, I will look at your site and determine if I think you're a good candidate. And then there's the ElanaFreeland.com, and you can see pretty much my mind all spread all over the place there.
How do they find your Facebook sites? Do they just search for you and they just come up in the search?
You can see Ilana Freeland. You'll find my Ilana Freeland site, but I lost control of that a long time ago. So I made two private sites.
Okay.
Those are the ones that people would want. One is for geoengineering stuff that has to do with that. That includes vaccines. And then the other one is everything else. The Sub Rosa America site really looks at the politics and all kinds of things going on.
Well, once again, everybody, the name of the books that we touched on tonight, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, and Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. And again, you can find ElanaFreeland.com on Facebook and on Amazon.com as well. Thanks again, Alana. I really appreciate it. And like I said, hopefully
you.
We can get together. And boy, the topic was just too big for me. It takes more than an hour to go through everything you have.
I knew that.
For
but we
sure.
did good. We did good, Pete.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you
Thank
again soon.
You.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. So once again, that was Alana Freeland. We talked about, we started with the chemtrails, and ultimately we got into what she believes to be the ultimate goal of the chemtrail. And I guess I had always assumed that it was just strictly a climate engineering mechanism. She does not agree that that is the only purpose. You know, her purpose, her thought is also eventually towards a much more nefarious end, talking about nanoparticles, nanotechnologies, getting into your body, getting into that blood-brain barrier, being activated by your cell phone. This is going to bake you the noodle a little bit. Definitely. A lot to think about there. So it was good discussion. I would love to have her back. The conversation was just too big for an hour. For everything that she knows and everything that she's talked about and researched over the years, this needs to be a 2-3-part conversation to talk about MK Ultra and geoengineering and transhumanism. And I have talked about transhumanism before on the podcast briefly. You know, and there are people out there who they're here for it. They're ready to go. You don't need to alter them to make them willing to do it. They're willing to do it. And that was one of the questions I had for her, is, you know, it seems like an awful lot of work to force the entire population to comply when you could probably get a third of it to a half of it or more at this point to do it willingly. They would just come right along with you. Who knows? I mean, you never know where the world's going to go or how different things are going to take. So we're all one big science experiment, really. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? You can contact us on our Gmail account. It's provemewrongcast@gmail.com. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. Prove Me Wrong Podcast is the name of the program. If you are looking for ways to listen to the podcast itself, you're not watching on video, you can find us really on any podcast platform that you currently have, Podbean, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Anchor, anywhere where you find podcasts, you can find the Prove Me Wrong Podcast. Like and subscribe to the program, and you'll be notified when a brand new episode releases. They release once a week, so you'll be notified when a brand new episode like this one releases, and you can take a listen. We're also on video. We're on Rumble and on YouTube if they don't censor me. Occasionally, I get censored for things like this on YouTube. Who the hell knows what they are or aren't going to censor you on from day to day. Rumble probably is the primary that something like this would go on, especially since we happen to mention the outbreak. I can't even say the name of it, because if you do, you'll be censored, FYI. So since we mentioned the outbreak, more than likely, this is a Rumble account. So you can like us on Rumble. And again, you'll be notified when a brand new episode is released. It's Prove Me Wrong Cast on rumble.com. It's also Prove Me Wrong Podcast on YouTube as well. So yeah, like the show, subscribe to the show, click on the notifications, you'll be notified. And many ways to find the Prove Me Wrong Podcast. Before we go tonight, our sponsor tonight is ZendoZone Citronella Burners from JT Eaton. I've got one right here. I've been showing him off at Surf and Stan. They're shaped like fearless bug repellent tiki gods, right? So like I said, Surf and Stan, Hawaiian Hallie, and Luau Lily, they bring the islands to your backyard with ZendoZone Citronella Burners. ZendoZone uses natural 3% citronella candles and the incense cones. They're perfect for patios, decks, backyards, campsites, poolside, and more. You can enjoy the outdoors again. They are available on Amazon.com and at select Ace Hardware stores. Go ahead and find yours today. And if you don't find one in your local Ace Hardware store, let us know. Send us a line on the PrimeRoncast@gmail.com. Tell us where the store is, and we'll see if we can't get them in there. So once again, for my guest, Alana Freeland, my name is Pete Lieb. This is the Prove Me Wrong Podcast, and we will see you again soon.